Americans canceled summer vacations and aren't really venturing out as much due to the pandemic, but they can still find excitement, at least vicariously. Boulder City's Larry Lyon has written about a remarkable transcontinental trip, all by car, in the 1930s, that was completed by his uncle and cousin. The book is called 1930, Manhattan to Managua, North America's First Transnational Automobile Trip. Regular State of Nevada contributor John L. Smith has just completed the trip, too, virtually. John, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Joe. It really is.
Well, so let's talk about how this story ever became a book, and who is Larry Lyon?
Larry Lyon is a psychologist with the Veterans Health Administration in Las Vegas. He's very experienced as a professional, but he also has, for many years, had a manuscript that one of his uncles wrote during this trip, this amazing trip in 1930 that they took as young men. And it's been one of his goals to see this manuscript, this journal, become a published document. In the process, he has spent years trying to accomplish this and finally was able to do it. And the result is this wonderful book that is not only a journal and an adventure story, but it's annotated. It has all kinds of historical notes and sidebar material and some great photos. And it's really wonderful. And I have to tell you, you know, in the middle of this pandemic that we're all going through and all the stresses, this was like such a relief and a vacation in its own way for me.
The story in the book itself is great, but there's also a little bit more motivation for the author to complete the book. Talk about that.
Larry's, you know, his daughter, Jenny, was such a, I mean, she was a beautiful, beautiful young woman. Mm-hmm. She was on, you know, the show Survivor, and she got cancer. One of the last things that she did was that she asked her dad to make sure that he completed his goal of seeing that book get published. And so he did. Been working ever since to do it. It's really a heart-wrenching kind of thing. I know Larry personally. He's a great guy. He's one of those guys who's so dedicated to the very troubled PTSD crowd at the veterans centers. You know, he's a sweetheart.
What makes it a Nevada story?
Well, Arthur and Joseph Lyon were born in northern Nevada. They were known as Winnemucca boys. They lived in National Nevada, which is a place you would have a hard time finding on any map today. And they went on to successful business careers. But, you know, one was ready to start his professional career in 1929. Another was ready to go off to college. And they met up in New York when, of course, the crash came in 29. And so they were left with some decisions to make. They decided to take a trip. They bought a Model A Roadster and just kind of winged it and headed south and decided to kind of invent the adventure along the way. In less than a month, they got all the way to Managua, Nicaragua. And that short sells the story quite a bit because there were some hair-raising twists and turns. Part of the route, of course, wasn't even marked with a road. So they had to kind of create their own way to get to Nicaragua. And they came away somewhat celebrated, you might say. Associated Press covered them as adventurers. And the Reno Gazette Journal, if I can pull this out for you,
yeah.
I'd like to read a little bit of it. It's from June 2nd of 1930. The headline is Nevada Youths Make First Auto Jaunt to Nicaragua. Our first to drive from U.S. to Central America. They cover 4,562 miles in 26 days of driving time. Two young Nevadans, Arthur and Joseph Lyons of Winnemucca, yesterday completed what is believed to be the first automobile trip from New York to Managua, Nicaragua, using a light roadster to travel those distances in that time. So, I Associated Press covered them as if they were headed to the Arctic. And in reality, of course, automobile travel that distance really was not done much. And so especially into the wilds of Central America. So you've got this great adventure story occurring at a time when society really needed relief from the stresses of the Great Depression. And I think we can all relate to that.
So interesting. So a roadster, I imagine, what was that, like a sports car back 90 years ago?
It's a, one of the great American cars, the Model A built by Ford. It was a humble vehicle that was double tough. Now, they traveled all this distance, and this is one of my favorite takeaways for those of us who had to change tires on the roadside. They only got two flats in almost 5,000 miles traveling on dirt roads.
Wow.
So it's kind of amazing. And one of the roads they took wasn't a road at all. It's a railroad. They actually flattened the tires on their vehicle and ran it on the tracks in order to get across parts of the country that did not have a road. So it's, like I said, it's quite an adventure story and true. That's the best part.
When they get down to Central America, are jungles, do they play a part in this? How'd that go?
Jungles, swamps, potential banditos on the roadside, all kinds of distractions. The story is written a bit like, you know, Kerouac's On the Road. It's got a little Travels with Charlie in it. It's playful. There's a little bit of drinking. There are some interesting expatriates they come across. And it's written with a kind of twinkle in the eye that Arthur Lyon had as a young man and maintained throughout his life, I'm sure. He went on to run a very successful trucking bus service and whatnot in the region. But that was really, you know, the great adventure of his young life. And he was, fortunately for us, wise enough to write down a journal and keep that. And Larry Lyon, to his great credit, has brought it to life.
Yeah, I love the fact that they went on a railroad tracks and did this. It's kind of stuff you see in movies, but I never actually thought you could do it. But it sort of demonstrates, or maybe it isn't so evident, I wonder if it is, how far we've come in the world of travel in 90 years.
Yeah, I think that is true, although you wouldn't know it by borders being blocked and travel restrictions being issued during the time of pandemic. I think it is a testament and a reminder that we've come such a long way in a relatively short time.
John L. Smith is with us. He's a regular contributor to State of Nevada. John, I want to turn to marijuana. The Clark County Commission recently approved drive-through windows for marijuana dispensaries. Applicants will still have to get approval from the state and the county, and there is already growing interest in this very competitive marijuana market, and I think some people might have seen that at the start of the pandemic when New Woo Dispensary, which is on the Paiute Reservation in downtown Las Vegas, had lines that were at least a half mile long of people in their cars. Now that people can go into dispensaries, is there going to be as much interest in the drive-through part of it?
Well, I tend to think there is going to be, convenience being what it is, and I think a lot of folks are obviously interested in the product. It's been booming in Nevada since it was legalized. So there's that issue. I'm a little surprised that their critics haven't come out reminding folks that, you know, having this dispensary is one thing, but a drive-through, you know, we don't really have drive-through liquor stores in Nevada, although you'll find them in other states. The Paiute tribe has had a major, major business advantage in that regard, having that drive-through function.
Yeah, it is interesting what you mentioned about alcohol, because before marijuana was legalized here, lobbyists had said, well, it should be treated just like alcohol, but again, liquor stores don't have these drive-up windows. Should they, or do you think that's coming?
Well, you know, who knows the way the rules are these days. However, a lot of states do have, in one form or another, drive-through liquor stores or drive-up beer dispensaries where they'll fill your car with, you know, a keg of beer. In Colorado, there is a dispensary that offers marijuana and liquor. So there's that. They've got that going for them. And of course, one of my favorites is that there's one dispensary that issues in Louisiana. It's not a dispensary. It has frozen daiquiris that you can haul away through the drive-through. So I guess you can still drive down the highway with a frozen daiquiri.
Yeah.
In Louisiana.
Do other states, though, have these marijuana pickup services, drive-up windows? How do we compare right now?
Not to my knowledge. I tried to do a scan of the available material on the net, and it looks like only Colorado has something similar at this point. But clearly, the popularity of marijuana in society is such that a lot of changes are taking place, and it's happening very rapidly. So it wouldn't surprise me to see that drive-through accessibility to come to a lot of states.
I just wonder if people are going to sound warnings about people buying marijuana in a drive-up window, lighting up or ingesting it right then, and you know, potentially the accidents that come along with that.
Well, I mean, that's the question too, not only for society, but for law enforcement, which is put in a very, in my opinion, a very difficult position of trying to police the roads and transition toward accepting the legality of marijuana, something that has been, you know, illegal both at the local and federal level. You know, that's a transition time too.
Yeah, a lot to consider. John L. Smith is a regular contributor to State of Nevada, a longtime Nevada journalist. John, thanks again.
Thank you, Joe.
This is State of Nevada.